In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The image of the apostles that you might get from listening to many Protestants talk and also from some movies that depict them is that they went around preaching and teaching, but that when they prayed, it was sort of a free-formed, non-liturgical thing, and that they were not a whole lot different than the way your typical Baptists are when they prayed and worshiped. But that's not what you find when you actually read the scriptures. For example, when you take a look at the ending of the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about the ascension of Christ into heaven, it says in chapter 24, beginning with verse 51, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." So the apostles were not just making it up as they went, but rather they continued with the Jewish patterns of worship. The only thing that was being added to that was that they celebrated the Eucharist, and even that had its format in a Jewish service called the Habura meal, which was a fellowship meal that was what Christ actually celebrated with his apostles on Holy Thursday. It wasn't the Passover meal because the Passover lamb had not been sacrificed. And so this was a meal that anticipated the celebration of the Passover. That's also why we know that they used unleavened bread. They used leavened bread rather than unleavened bread in that meal. Now, as time went on, during the lifetime of the apostles, there was an increasing break with Jewish worship. You read in the Acts of the Apostles about the Apostle Paul going to a city to preach the gospel, and the first place he would go would be to the Jewish synagogue, and he would preach there, and very often that was his last time there because they would kick him out. But there were a few synagogues that actually listened to what he had to say, and they embraced what he had to say, and they became Christians, and that synagogue formed itself as the church in that village. And so as time went on, Christian worship began to take on its own distinctive Christian character, and things that were symbolic in the Old Testament worship were made more clear as they were transformed in the light of Christ's ministry, death, and resurrection. But the worship of the apostles was deeply rooted in the worship of the Old Testament. Now, on Pascha, before the midnight office, we read the book of Acts. And when you listen to the book of Acts, you hear a number of cases where the apostles went to the temple to worship. But on Friday, the reading from Acts that we read was the beginning of chapter 3. And it says in verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." And later on in the book of Acts, we find that a God-fearing Gentile by the name of Cornelius was also praying at the ninth hour. In Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And so on the next day, we find St. Peter, and he's praying, and it's the sixth hour. "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." And this is where he had the vision of clean and unclean food, and he was told three times to kill and to eat. And he said, "Lord, I've never eaten unclean food before." And he said, "Don't call common that which God has made clean." And so this is where the Lord began to teach the apostles that they were no longer bound by the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. But he was also told that this man Cornelius was on his way, and that was the first reception of a Gentile into the church. It was between the sixth hour and the ninth hour that Christ was crucified, and it was precisely during those 2 hours, or the span of those hours, that the Passover lambs were sacrificed. And so when Christ was crucified, he was being crucified at that exact same moment when the symbol of what he was fulfilling was being sacrificed in the temple. And the ninth hour is the time of the evening offering. And so the apostles continued to observe these things, but these things took on new meaning in the light of Christ. In verse 2, we're told, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." This gate, the Beautiful Gate, was the main entrance into the temple. And it was a good place to beg because people were more likely to give alms when they were on their way to pray into the temple. And so his family was very wise in putting him in a place where he was most likely to get what it was that he needed, which was alms, because he had no means to take care of himself. But the question that we should ask, what we should take away from this, is, are we in need of spiritual blessings? Shouldn't we come to the temple where we're most likely to get those blessings? Are we in need of spiritual healing? Shouldn't we come to the church? Are we hungering and thirsting for God? Isn't the church the place where we're most likely to find him? And should we emulate the apostles who came to worship God in the temple at the appointed services when they had the opportunity to do so and when they were not in Jerusalem, as in the case when St. Peter was in Joppa? He would nevertheless keep those hours of prayer himself. Then in verse 3, we're told that this man saw Peter and John about to go into the temple and asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." St. Peter performed this miracle in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth at the most conspicuous place in the city of Jerusalem. And he referred to him as being of Nazareth because his connection, Christ's connection with this humble village, was cited as evidence that he couldn't be the Messiah. It was a reproach to talk about him being from Nazareth because, as we heard in the Gospels, someone say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And this happened less than 2 months after this was included on the superscription that Herod wrote that was hung over Christ as he was crucified. And St. Peter, who at that time was so fearful that he denied Christ 3 times and he hid himself for fear of those who were enemies of Christ, in this case, he's now so bold that he works this miracle in the name of Christ and he does it for all the Jews to see. In verse 7 it says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." This man was unable to enter into the temple for all these many years that he sat begging before this entrance. But now, by the grace of God and by this miracle, he was able to enter in. St. Bede tells us that this man represented Israel, who was crippled by sin and by infidelity, but was brought to the temple by the law and the prophets, but by the power of Christ is finally enabled to enter into that temple and to truly worship God in spirit and in truth. And we too, apart from God's grace, are unable to offer God the true and spiritual worship that he requires of us, but if we will come to the temple and beg for his mercy, he will say to us, "Rise up and walk." And if we've come and we still feel ourselves to be spiritual cripples, we need to not give up, but take every opportunity to come to the temple of God, because this is where what we need spiritually is to be found. Amen.